Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios on a Titans Monday. And boy, Titans Monday used to be an exciting day around here. Now it's a depressing day around here. But it's time now for us to discuss everybody's favorite position on the football team. Right. Tackle. You guys know the story, so I'm not going to tell it again. But I oftentimes compare my experiences working with the late, great Floyd Reese, the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame Floyd Reese, from ages 25 to 31. Ian's a little bit older than me, so Ian, I'm guessing for you it was what, like 29 to 34 with Floyd?
No, maybe a little bit. No, I don't even know. I'm 40, I'm about to be 42, so something
like that.
Are
you really?
Yep. In January, I'll be 42.
Gosh,
I know.
Life comes at you fast. I remember when you were in your 30s, and I was like, man, Ian's old. Now you're in
your
30s,
I was like,
I'm in my 30s.
Yes, I was like 35, something like that. That sounds about right.
Okay. So we went to football school every single day. I've likened our experience to like my friend. I got friends that are lawyers, friends that are doctors. So when my friends that went to law school or my friends that went to medical school, I went to football school where I had, again, one of the greatest professors in the history of this city. And I learned on the first day of football school that you have to have a right tackle. So yesterday, after whatever forcocta story the Titans want to tell, we're in the middle of the pregame show. I see that Leroy Watson is inactive after they called him up off the practice squad, cut John Ojukwu, a.k.a. Ian, OJ.
OJ, yes.
They cut him. They bumped him ahead of Nicholas Petitfrere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT. And Jalen Duncan gave him the start. They didn't give up a sack. I didn't think Watson was very good either, which they didn't think. But I didn't think he was worse than PT. I didn't think he was worse than what Duncan has been his entire career. So I was stunned when I saw that Watson was. And then I went and I looked at the injury report. And he wasn't on the injury report on Friday. So I checked with the Titans. They said this was not injury related. I talked to somebody who would know. And I said, why is Watson inactive? And they said, because they think he sucks. Well, duh, they cut him 6 weeks ago. But the other guy sucked too. So after this whole, again, furcocta situation they found themselves in, where now Jalen Duncan, who's been given about 9 opportunities to play tackle in the National Football League, preseason games, regular season games, practices, whatever, and he's terrible all the time, was terrible in college. Jalen Duncan's going to get the start. He gets hurt. Now you're back to PT. And after the game was over, Brian Callahan got up in front of the media and said what we've all known for forever, some of us, not going to say who, longer than others, but he said, yeah, this is an issue.
Yeah, we just got a problem at right tackle. You know, we got to find someone that can step up and play for us. And right now, everyone's got their turn, and none of it's been where we need it to be. And so we're just going to keep rolling through it. And there's only so many available tackles out there, and only so many on our team. And just trying to find more consistency from that spot at this point.
And I find it to be incredibly inexcusable that the head coach of the Tennessee Titans is getting up there in front of the media and saying, we have a right tackle problem, given the fact that it was him who believed in the right tackles they had on the roster. Again, something that I learned on the first day of football school. Brian Callahan, this entire offseason, apparently had no idea. And that was even including the fact that the day after he got hired, I sat down with him and told him the right tackle story. So I said, this was 2015. The team was terrible. They were 3-13 that year. I go, Floyd, are the Titans going to be any good this year? This might have been April after the draft. And he looked at me and he goes, we don't have a right tackle. I said, that's important, huh? He said, right tackle? I was like, It's pretty important. So the last couple of years, I feel like I've had to tell that story on the radio a bunch. So right tackle is apparently pretty important. I just, you know, yeah, I just want you to know that story so I don't have to tell it anymore on the radio.
I'll say this. Anymore, the way the NFL is set up, everybody's got, usually has at least one dynamic pass rusher. Mm-hmm. Most of them have two. And so if you don't have two tackles, it's going to be hard.
He told you right there that he thought right tackle. I walked away from that thinking this guy knows that right tackle is important too, because he probably learned it on the first day of football school too. But then he was at the combine, and he was on the midday show, and he didn't get asked in his press conferences and things like that about the right tackle spot because nobody else cared about it as much as we did. And so Caroline asked him about the right tackle spot, and Brian Callahan said something. And in February, the alarm bells went off. Here's what he said.
I will say that there is some young talent on our line that I do like. I think Jalen Duncan did some good things. I think Petit Fair has talent. I mean, I think we got some guys that have traits that just need to be refined and coached, and hopefully we got more in those spots as well. So I'm not saying that that's where we're going to stop, but we're going to keep trying to add good players. But I think there's some things to work with on the roster as well.
He said that. I said, no, 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 no. And this is where Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker come into the equation. Because Nicholas Petitfrere was the number one offensive line recruit in the country. Had offers from Ohio State, where he went, Alabama, Notre Dame. He played left tackle at Ohio State. So obviously, if you play left tackle at Ohio State, you have talent. We all know that. But this is where Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker, who were here last year, has to look at those guys and say, guys, PT can't do it. Like, I'm telling you right now, he can't do it. The same way I kept saying, he can't do it. So much so that when Brian Callahan, after they didn't sign one in free agency, after they didn't draft one in the draft, after they made it abundantly clear they were going to try to roll the dice with PT, I asked him in June at minicamp, I said, okay, so what if it doesn't work out? Then what are you going to do?
Insurance policy or insurance option if you put the pads on and they're not in training camp where you want them to be?
There's always options. Sometimes your options that are outside of your building are better than others, but there's also a whole nother set of acquisition period that comes at the end of training camp. There's trades that occur, there's cuts that occur, there's still potential to add at the position if you feel like you need to. Again, maybe not be the options that you'd want. There may not be one that's available that's worth it, but there's always avenues to improve still before the season starts if you feel like you need a spot somewhere on the roster.
And they didn't do it. Like, they didn't do it. Chris Hubbard got signed by the Giants last week, but he was on a practice squad the whole time. So, again, Day gets hired. I'm like, dude, right tackle, pretty important. He's like, yeah, it is. I'm like, okay. Phew. For 2 years, I've had to deal with the Titans not having a right tackle. Now I feel a little bit better because this guy seems to think that they're going to be able to get a right tackle. Then in February, I think PT and Duncan can do it. No. That's, again, where the guys who were here last year, Brinker and Carthon, have to step in and say, like, hey, man, we tried the PT thing last year. We need an insurance option. So go find us some insurance options. Then I said, hey, if it doesn't work out with these guys who stink, because I know they stink. You don't know they stink. You're the head coach. You don't know they stink, but I know they stink. If it doesn't work out with these guys, then what are you going to do? Well, if it doesn't work, then we'll go out there and we can still add guys and we can still. And they haven't done any of it. They just called up a guy off their own practice squad. Didn't look at anybody else's practice squads. Didn't look at anybody else who got cut. Didn't call up some other team and say, hey, we got a seventh from the Packers from Malik Willis. We'll trade you this seventh in order to get this tackle you're going to cut so that nobody else can claim him. Nope. They thought they were good with PT, Duncan, OJ, and Scarbini, Watson. And I thought they had the guru coaching them. Bill Callahan. I thought they had him coaching them. And I wouldn't be so worked up about it, except for the fact that I know I'm not some football savant. Like, I know it. I worked every day with somebody who was. So I know what I don't know. And I don't think I belong in the hierarchy of an NFL team's decision-making. Though let me just say this, I do think I could do better than the Titans have done the last 2 years. And I'm dead serious about that. That's how little respect I have for the job they've done. But again, it's something you learn on the first day of football school. You have to have a right tackle. That doesn't mean it's more important than quarterback or left tackle or whatever. But you can't go into the season without a right tackle. And these morons don't know it. And that is so. And now, after all of the, yeah, I know you got to have two tackles. And yeah, you know, we think PT and Duncan can do it. And yeah, if they can't do it, then we'll go out and get somebody else. After all of that, here we are 6 weeks into the season. And he's like, well, you know, we got a right tackle problem. So we're going to keep swapping spit and seeing if this is going to change. And I know this isn't going to change because they did the same thing last year and it didn't change. So until the Titans put somebody at right tackle who was not in this organization as of today, as of right now, nothing's going to change. And it doesn't matter if Will Levis is quarterback or if Mason Rudolph is quarterback or if Jared Stillman is quarterback or if John Elway is quarterback. They can't block. Because, again, you have to have a right tackle. And I know that it's like, oh, here goes Jared on the right tackle. I get it. But I'm asking this seriously. Do you guys understand how sad it is, how truly embarrassing it is that the fat guy on the radio who never played football knows more than they do? Knows more than the guru, knows more than the head coach, knows more than the GM, knows more than the analytic MBA business model .commerce. That's bad. Like, I don't know what you all do for a living. Like, Joey in Bellevue. I love Joey in Bellevue. He's a great guy. Joey in Bellevue does not know more about the Titans than I do because it's my job. And he does HVAC work. And I don't know more about mini splits than he does because that's what he does. I'm serious. This is how bad it is. The coach is like, oh, trust me, I got this. And I'm like, coach, I don't think you have it. But I'm the one saying, coach, you don't have it. Not the GM and the president. They're sitting there doing podcast interviews about how smart they are. And you wonder why you suck so bad. This is why you suck. Because the fat guy on the radio knows more than you do. And that should never, ever, ever, ever happen. But that's where we are. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will get into your phones on this. And apparently, right tackle is a pretty important position. Stillman and Company, 1025, the game. Let me tell you about Window Nation. Guess what? I don't know anything about windows either, but they do. And I know that they're actual experts that know what they're talking about because they came out to my home. And they showed me their good, better, best models. They showed me the brand new windows. You get these brand new windows installed. And, I mean, it will save you money on your energy bills. You're going to crank up the heat. We're doing the thing now where it's like sometimes we have the AC on, sometimes we have the heat on. You know, we're kind of in that little flux right there. And you want to make sure that you've got the right windows so that you can keep the heat in and the AC and don't let it go out through the window. And so right now with Window Nation, October's the perfect time to get your windows changed out. Buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing for 24 months. And hurry, because this sale ends October 30th. Buy two, get two free, pay nothing for 24 months. So schedule an in-home estimate right now by calling 866-90-NATION or by visiting windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
We got John Joku on the roster too. So we're going to let those guys go, and we're going to find, you know, something better than what we've had so far. And at the end of the day, got to find some sort of solution to it. And guys will get opportunities to do so. And, you know, Leroy will get an opportunity potentially to fight for it. So we got guys in a roster that got to fight. And then if there's somewhere else we got to go outside of it, we go outside of it. And, you know, that's the unfortunate part about where we're at there. And we need to find a solution at some point.
That was Brian Callahan today saying, hey, you know, we got guys, John Ajoku is going to be in the mix. A.K.A.
O.J.
OJ, he's going to be in the mix. What's hilarious is, you know, when we put all those cuts together that we played in the last segment of me telling the right tackle story in January and Brian Callahan in February saying, you know, no, PT and Duncan can do it. And then the one in June at the minicamp. And when I put in right tackle and RT in the little search thing to find those old cuts, and there was a Vrabel cut from the beginning of training camp last year where, if you remember, PT was suspended for the gambling thing, and Vrabel was asked by Terry McCormick who's going to be in the mix for right tackle, and Vrabel was like, well, Jamarco is going to get the first crack at it, and then Andrew Rupchich, and now we all know Andrew Rupchich sucks, and Jalen will get a shot over there, and we all know Jalen Duncan sucks, and OJ will get a shot over there, and we all know OJ has pencil legs, and he sucks. So, again, the same bullcrap last year Vrabel was trying to do. They're using the same. Go get somebody else. Go sign some Scarbini off of a practice squad and see if they're any better. Because I can promise you, you can run out the same guys over and over and over again. It ain't going to change. And I think it's embarrassing. And I think it's all, again, borderline disqualifying. This is stuff that, again, we learn on the first day of football school. One texter says, PT got beat so bad on his first snap, they pointed out on TV. They point out PT getting beat on TV a lot. John in Nashville has been waiting patiently and is up next. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, man? First of all, as always, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to hop right in it, man. I've been waiting for weeks, trying to hold off, not calling in. The fan base is so delusional, man. You said it just earlier in the broadcast. You work with Floyd, so you have very, very knowledgeable insight as to what we need and what goes on. You and Floyd had conversations on and off the record. You told everyone coming into camp, we have a line, offensive line protection problem. And no one wanted to listen. And now that the season has come around and we are just in a almost the worst team in the league. So my question is, do you think other coaches, other executives, other GMs look at the franchise and say, I do not want to go there. I don't want to be a part of such a travesty, such an organization run by ineptitude. And I think that's where we are as a franchise. This is way beyond Will Levis, way beyond the right tackle, way beyond these. We are in a bad place as a franchise, and it's run from the top with ineptitude. And I'll hang up and listen on that.
Yeah, thank you for the call. No, I don't think that. Again, they're 32 jobs. Now, if you remember, when they went looking for a general manager, they wanted to interview Adam Peters of the 49ers, and Adam Peters originally said yes, but then said no. And I think a lot of people thought that was because Adam Peters. Now, some of that, I think, is because Adam Peters knew that he was one of the top candidates as far as the general manager circuit was concerned, and he wanted to go somewhere where he'd be in control. And you'll never be in a place with Mike Vrabel where you'll have total control. Even when John Robinson had total control, Mike Vrabel still had a say. You'll never be able to get Mike Vrabel to do exactly what. Mike Vrabel is not going to be Jeff Fisher. Like, I'm just telling you, where he sits on his ass all spring and then, you know, lets the GM do the job. That's not going to happen. So Adam Peters pulled out. But again, I think that was over Adam Peters wanting to be somewhere where he had final say, and Adam Peters had history in New England, and the Titans had just fired John Robinson. But again, I think that if you were to open this thing up and you were to interview GM candidates and coach candidates the same way you got Brian Callahan, the same way you found Brian Callahan, Brian Callahan was interviewing for your job, and if he got a second interview, he was going to Carolina. There's 32 jobs. And I remember when the Houston Texans fired David Culley after a year and fired Lovie Smith after a year, and ESPN Stephen A. Smith said on First Take on the flagship show of the number one sports channel, black coaches do not apply for the Houston Texans, because he was so mad about how Culley and Lovie were treated, and they hired D'Amico Ryans. So, no, I don't think it matters. And again, what are we asking here? Like, do you think anyone wants to work here? Yeah. because that's what the money's for. That's why people want these jobs. You know, I was listening to old Jared and the GM when they benched Mariota. I was listening to it last year. I was on a walk, and I listened to old Jared and the GM when they benched Mariota because I wanted to hear what he said because this was right around the time they benched Tannehill. And I said, well, Mike Vrabel said that, you know, they were going to revolutionize Mariota, whatever it was. And Floyd goes, well, of course he said that. He'll say whatever it takes to get the job because there's one of 32 and it pays $4 million a year. So he'll say whatever it takes. And I'm like, there is some truth in that. There is some truth when it comes to these guys. So, no, this idea that no one would want to come here, no one would want to be here. We have people say the same thing in free agency about, why would they want to come here? This team stinks. And I'm like, because the money. L'Jarius Sneed wanted to come here from Kansas City. Not because he had a better shot at winning the Super Bowl, but because of the money. So, yeah, I don't think it's that. 615-737-1025. Brian Callahan yesterday. I like Brian Callahan. I'm rooting for Brian Callahan. I don't have a ton of hope when it comes to Brian Callahan, but I'm pulling and rooting and hoping and all these things. And I still can't get over what he did yesterday. Inexplicably stupid. We'll get to it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game.
Bring in an extra lineman here in Daniel Brunskill, right to Pollard, who's stuffed. Douglas Bernard all crashing across the line of scrimmage. Fourth down and two. They're going for it. Pollard is stuffed. Smoot snuffs it out. And the Bills hold.
Yeah, that, I mean, we had done, we were pretty good third down conversion wise in that range, in that 2-5 range at that point. We were running the ball well coming out of the half, and I thought we had a good chance to be able to get that. And, you know, ran the two runs there in a row and didn't get any yards at all. So that was really the reason. I thought we had a chance to get the yard or two that we needed. And it was a fringe go for it for us. It was sort of a dealer's choice at that point and felt like our conversion percentage up to that point in the first half and our ability to run the ball was in our favor. So I took an aggressive approach to try to go get it, and we didn't get it.
So while I thought the right tackle thing is kind of like an ongoing story with Brian Callahan, I thought the fourth down decisions yesterday, the not going forward at the beginning of the game, but then going forward at the beginning of the second half, I thought that was completely unacceptable. And the fact that his team can't do anything in the second half of any game is a massive red flag. And yet, yesterday I was thinking about that fourth down. First of all, I try to do this. Every coach in the history of the NFL, and if I was a coach, maybe I would do this too. But every coach in the history of the NFL gets up at the podium after they do something stupid and it doesn't work out, and they say, well, that's the nature of this job. If it doesn't work, they'll blame you. And if it does work, you know, they'll think you're the smartest guy ever. And in some cases, that's true. Most cases, though, I think some of us have at least some sensibility, like some notion of reasoning. So I'm watching the game on my TV, and the Titans shockingly played a really good first quarter. And I didn't like the way they used their timeouts and didn't have an opportunity to score before the end of the half. But 10-7 at Buffalo on the road, defense playing well. I thought I was going to have to eat some crow after I said, I don't think the defense is not only not the number one defense, but I don't even think they're a good defense. I thought I was going to have to eat some crow. And then Brian Callahan, on fourth and two, after they lose a yard on third and one, decides to go for it. And I'm watching the game with my dad, and I'm like, punt the ball. You're at midfield. If you don't get it, you give Buffalo all the momentum. Punt it deep. Your defense has played well. I think the defense understands. If Stonehouse puts them down at the 17-yard line, like, hey, keep them down there and get them to punt you a ball into decent field position. That's regular football, right? And instead, Brian Callahan, because he can't separate being an offensive coordinator from being a head coach, Brian Callahan on the sideline is like, go for it. And he said, well, you know, at that stage of the game, the analytics said it was a dealer's choice. Okay? Anybody watching the game knew, punt the ball. Ian, when you were watching the game, I'm going to put you on the spot. When you were watching the game, did you say punt the ball?
I was leaning punt.
I mean, again, he said today, Callahan, I couldn't believe this. He's like, well, on the third and one play, we ran our goal line package, which you hear the CBS announcer saying, they've brought Daniel Brunskill in the game on third down. And he goes, and they ran their nickel package.
Wasn't that the Wildcat play? Was that the Wildcat play?
Yes, and you still lost a yard. And so now we're going to try to run it again?
Right up the middle once again. Same play, back to back.
I mean, oh my God. And so then I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, that was really stupid. And it ended any chance they had of winning the game. If they had gone for it on fourth and three, screw your analytics and what they say.com. And again, those things are so stupid anyways. Vrabel got in trouble last year because at Miami, they went for two when they were down by 14, scored the touchdown. So now they're down by, what, nine at that point? Down by 14, scored six. You'll have to do the math for me. So they're down by eight or eight. Whatever at that point. They go for two and get it. And so then they end up winning the game by a point. And apparently the analytic department was like, Mike Vrabel, that was not very, that was a bad idea. And Amy got mad at Vrabel over that. And it ended up in the Diana Russini Athletic article. And Vrabel was basically like, F off. You know, like he was like, enough. So I don't care about the analytics. I think it's all horse crap anyways. But again, the analytics say early in the game, don't go for it. Well, I'm sitting there watching the game saying you're on the road at Buffalo, opening drive, you're at the 7-yard line, like, you ain't going to beat Buffalo with field goals. You're not beating Josh Allen with field goals. I think we can all agree. So I said, go for it. Go for it. Fourth and three, draw some, go get it. Go try to, you're an underdog, it's okay. And again, I think most people would have agreed with me. And then on the other side of it, here they are. And it's like, all right, hey, you've got a lead in the second half. Defense is playing well. Like, Amari Cooper's dropped the ball, and they've got pressure on him. And for whatever reason, they weren't throwing the ball to Shakir, who's their best offensive player. So just punt it deep. Nope, we're going for it. And Twitter went nuts. Twitter went insane that Brian Callahan did this. And again, I'm not saying Twitter knows who's a good coach and who's not. Twitter's the one that perpetuated Let Rand Cook, and we see how that's worked. But I don't think Brian Callahan's that bad of a coach. But every time I say that, I start to bring myself back to, well, wait a minute. There was the 4th and 7 against the Colts that ESPN's analytic guy said was the worst punt decision of the week. Then there was the decision against Green Bay when he had to call the timeout so they could go forward on 4th down. When, again, I think the fans were booing because the offense was inept, not because they wanted to see the offense stay out there and go for it. And then they went for it and they didn't get it. And so it feels like in a lot of these games, we have to sit here and say, well, what was Brian Callahan thinking? And I don't know how many times you get that. What was he thinking? I don't know how many times you get that before you are a bad coach. Like, at what point do you sit back and say, like, man, you keep screwing up a bunch. Like, in blatantly obvious things that anybody else would have done something completely different. They would have done the opposite of what you did. And I'm serious. How many times do we have to go over these Brian Callahan screw-ups? You know, Will Levis complained last week about them not getting the play in fast enough. Derek said he threw him under the bus. And in the first half, they're burning timeouts left and right because they can't get the play in on time. Hurry up, coach! Again, I'm not paying you to be a rookie coach and to take lumps along the way. I'm paying you to be an NFL coach. So while I don't think Brian Callahan's that bad of a coach, I mean, there are some massive red flags when it comes to what's going on around here. And it takes me back to the Mike Mularkey era, where, boy, a lot of people hated Mike Mularkey because it wasn't a sexy hire. He was an old dude who had a losing record because he went to crap organizations and whatnot. And yet he and his old coaches didn't care. They knew how to run a football team. They had an old veteran Hall of Fame offensive lineman as their offensive line coach. They knew how to get lined up. They knew how to win games by running the ball. They knew what a leader was and what it wasn't. Taylor Lewan, take off the captain's patch. You ain't it. And it's like, man, Mularkey got a raw deal from the fans because that coaching staff knew what they were doing. You might not have liked it, but they knew what they were doing. And yet every week with Brian Callahan, it's like, what the hell were you thinking? And I look at the coaching staff, and I'm like, there's just not a lot of experience there. Outside of Bill Callahan, there's no experience for the coordinators, no experience, the special teams coach. I mean, they don't do anything right. Well, you know, Frank Bush, the linebacker coach, has a lot of experience. Okay. That's great. Again, this staff needs a former head coach on it. Like, and I'm not talking about, again, Brian's dad.
Big coach.
I'm talking about, yeah, well, I'm talking about a coach that knows what a right tackle is. This team needs a former head coach on the staff. Like a real former head coach, probably on the defensive side of the ball, but somebody who's not trying to be head coach that could tell Brian Callahan, like, brother, we do not need to go for it on this fourth down here. Like, hey, coach, you know I respect you and whatnot. You cannot burn those timeouts in the first half. I mean, it's just inexcusable coaching. Inexcusable. And again, I don't think he's a bad coach, but every game it's like, oh, something new. Nate's up next on the program. Nate, thank you for waiting through that rant. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Jared. I've been a lifelong Cincinnati Reds fan, and so it's starting to become apparent to me that it feels like Amy Adams Strunk is running the Titans kind of like a small market baseball team. We want to go out and, you know, just like you said with Mularkey, he was an old school football coach, and then she came in, gave him a little bit of time and fired him and started trying to get these flash in the pan coaches, trying to bring in players who were past their prime and get a little bit extra out of them. And I think it's a culture thing that she's created since she's taken over.
Well, I agree with you that I think that it is a culture problem that is led by the owner. That I would agree with. Thank you for your call. The idea, though, that it's small market, I kind of disagree with. Now, again, this idea that they spent a gazillion dollars, according to SpotTrack, they're 22nd in the NFL in cash spend. So it's not like they have a top half of the league payroll. Like, they do not have a payroll like the Houston Texans' payroll. But at the same time, I mean, she is paying a general manager and a head coach, and those are things that, you know, people with money do. And not the small market operations. Small market operations. It's like Brian Callahan was asked today about, does this remind you of the 2019 Bengals season? And the Bengals in 2019, the Bengals were the worst team in the league, and, you know, it was bad. I think they were like 2-14. And that led them to being able to pick Joe Burrow. And the Bengals were bad the year that they had Joe Burrow as a rookie, and he got hurt because their offensive line was terrible, because I guess they just don't believe in right tackle either. But so the Bengals turned around, and they were able to draft Ja'Marr Chase. And Callahan was talking about how there are a lot of similarities to everywhere he's been when they start off, you know, that first year. He's not getting 3 years. Like in Cincinnati, where they don't like to fire coaches, I mean, Marvin Lewis. In Cincinnati, where they don't fire coaches, they got a third year. Because the first year was god-awful, the second year was bad, but they did draft Burrow. The third year, here you go, they end up in the Super Bowl. That's not happening here. Like, I mean, I'll be shocked if they get a second year. And I'm really talking about the whole opera. Like, I think Rand's probably, if I had to take a guess today, so I shouldn't say shocked. If I had to take a guess, I think she'll fire Rand Carthon, make Chad kind of the GM, even though he is technically already in charge of all of that. You know, and that they'll go from there and then fire them after next year. But you're not getting to year three if next year isn't an absolutely incredible improvement, and there's no guarantee you're getting next year either. This is Tennessee. This is not Cincinnati. Cincinnati is run like a small market team. Here, she pays to fire guys. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company. So TV was making a big deal about what in the world was going on with DeAndre Hopkins. That's next. Tune into 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville this Wednesday night for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will take on Jacksonville State on the road. Pregame is at 5 o'clock. Kickoff is at 6:30. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville is presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV.
I think something we pointed out earlier is going to have to be discussed after the game, and that's been why DeAndre Hopkins has not basically been involved here in the second half at all.
Because it's not an injury. We have also learned he's not hurt. He was standing right next to Brian Callahan on the last series with his helmet on, gave him a thumbs up to him, but then an odd look.
You hate to speculate, but I'm going to speculate because the trade deadline is coming up, and a guy like DeAndre Hopkins fits the bill of that, a veteran receiver that can still play at a high level, possibly there's a contender that's looking to add someone like him at this point in the season where he can help them. So who knows what's going on within the Titans organization, but right now with them on offense and DeAndre Hopkins walking around with a towel on his head, I can only wonder up here in the booth what's happening with possibly his situation.
So that was Jason McCourty and Tiki Barber on the CBS broadcast, and CBS yesterday made it abundantly clear that they thought something was up between DeAndre Hopkins and the coaches. And in that last cut, Jason McCourty alludes to a potential trade. And so I watched what you guys saw, which was, again, DeAndre on the sideline, and it looked like he was throwing a little pissy party over there. You know, he had his helmet on, but as McCourty and Tiki Barber noted, like, I mean, his helmet's not even screwed on tight, and the wide receiver is not following the play, which normally the wide receiver follows the play so that when it's his time to go in, he just runs right in on there. He was DeAndre. The body language told me everything. DeAndre didn't want to play. He didn't want to go back out there. And then after the game, Brian Callahan was asked about DeAndre. And I, you know, TD told me that I didn't see this on TV. DeAndre threw his helmet down at one point. But after the game, Brian Callahan was asked about DeAndre Hopkins, and here is what Brian Callahan had his But again, Brian Callahan kind of brushed off when he was talking about DeAndre Hopkins about what it was, and then today said that DeAndre Hopkins was hurt because yesterday DeAndre Hopkins said he was sore. Guys, I saw it on TV. And look, I don't view Tiki Barber by any stretch of the imagination as the end-all be-all. And Jason McCourty, I like Jason McCourty. I don't think he likes me, but that's okay. But I don't view him as the end-all be-all either. But those guys, the guys on TV try their hardest not to rock any boats. And even they're on TV saying, yeah, something's not right. And then the Titans told them on the broadcast that DeAndre wasn't hurt. So a lot of people are speculating the reason why DeAndre wasn't going into the game and the reason why DeAndre didn't look like he was going to go into the game. The reason why was because they're looking to trade him. But then DeAndre said he was hurt, and they said today that he was hurt. And Brian Callahan said today that, you know, well, I didn't know, but I was trying to win the game, and so he was down over there, and I didn't know what was going, blah, 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 whatever. But I guess the trainer said he was hurt. He was working through something with the trainers, and you don't say that when you're trying to trade somebody. The last thing you do when you're trying to trade somebody is say they were hurt. In fact, you never do that. But today, the narrative is, oh, no, DeAndre was hurt because that's what DeAndre said after the game. Here's what Callahan said after the game.
Hopkins not in there at the end. Was that just because of the score, or was that?
I got to check. No, I didn't. It wasn't a coach's decision. I got to check with Todd and see if there's anything to that. I didn't get an update on him yet, but I'm not sure.
I mean, that sounds great. But DeAndre was standing next to the coach. Like, did you see that? When CBS was talking about it and DeAndre was standing there and they're like, he doesn't even have his helmet strapped all the way on there. And DeAndre was standing like he couldn't give a rat's ass. Like, he couldn't wait to be anywhere else. And Tiki Barber and Jason McCourty are sitting there on CBS and they're like, what is that? And so then it's like, yeah, normally these guys go with the play and they're not going. And then they showed him talking to Callahan. So now Callahan after the game's like, yeah, I got to check with the trainer on that. You were talking right to him. He was standing right there with you. You mean talk to Todd. Yeah, he's right next to you. What a gong show. Antonio's up next. So I don't know what's going on, but it's bad. And considering that they had a beat, they had a problem with a wide receiver who can't catch last week, and now they got a problem with DeAndre, not a good sign around here. Let's go to Antonio, who's up next. Antonio, thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, you guys. Hey, thank you for taking my call. Man, this is a circus, man. I'm just gonna keep it plain and simple. I'm still upset with them letting go J-Rob. I think if we would have kept J-Rob, we wouldn't be going through this. Yeah, everybody wanted to talk about the A.J. Brown trade. I was mad, too. Everybody was mad. But when he was here, we had a system going on. We had a certain kind of system. He brought some kind of toughness back to this organization. And I've been a fan since 98, since they got here. Like, this right here, man, this new GM and this new little system we got going on, I mean, you see what's going on. It's a mess. I thank you all for taking my call. That's just what I'm calling it with this. Thank you, Antonio.
I can't tell you right now. Thank you for the call. I can't tell you right now if John Robinson hadn't lost his job the way he lost it, if he'd still have it today. I have no idea. You know, even with me, Robinson was getting to be on thin ice. You know, at some point, like, he would have had to draft better players. Now, I wouldn't have fired him in the middle of the year, and I wouldn't have fired a general manager that wins three straight divisions. I don't care how bad the drafting is. Again, this is all about the W's and the L's. So that was their decision, not mine. But when it comes to two things being true, that, hey, Robinson wasn't getting it done, and there's a chance that if they had kept him, he'd be fired by now anyways, which is possible, that can be true. So can the fact that the guys doing it right now have made it worse ever since they took over. Again, they were 7-5 when the Titans fired John Robinson, and now this team may get to 3 wins this year. That's not a good look. 615-737-1025 on our program. And coming up next, boy, a lot of people want something to happen that I am telling you right now, there is 0% chance. 0% chance of this happening. But it doesn't change what can be fixed, which we'll get to. Attention builders, remodelers, and homeowners. Pella Windows and Doors invites you to their showroom grand opening this Thursday from 3 to 7 at 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville. Discover premium windows and doors, enjoy food and drinks, and see how Pella can transform your home. Chase and Big Joe. We'll be on earlier in the day on Thursday. Chase and Big Joe will be live on location, and there will also be some raffle prizes given away, including Preds tickets, Arctic coolers, and more. Enjoy that. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.